This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are certain business owners for whom one night a year makes all the difference. Think buffalo wing makers on Super Bowl Sunday or candy makers on Halloween. Tonight, of course, is Santa's big night. Millions of toys to deliver, thousands of miles to travel in his sleigh, countless cookies and glasses of milk to sample. It is quite a business operation if you think about it, and Sally Herships did just that.
Poor Santa. Everyone thinks his life is just a bowl of cherries. But have you ever tried running an international organization that keeps tabs on the naughty or nice behaviors of half a billion kids? Not to mention making and delivering their presents. I know Santa has his elves, but Christmas magic can have downsides.
The interesting thing about elves is they're immortal, so they never die, so you'd have to pay them forever.
Jeff Farrow is president of accounting firm Parente Beard, which, for kicks, just did an audit of Santa's finances. Farrow says it's likely Santa would need about 50,000 elven employees who, reminder, as immortals, could ask for a heck of a raise after a couple hundred years on the job.
You know, the good thing is that you don't have a lot of recruiting costs. You also don't have a lot of retirement benefits.
But you would have to keep your employees pretty happy to never give them raises and offer a good base salary.
You know, I think a lot of people, if you could get a hold of an elf, you'd probably hire them. They're probably pretty hard workers.
Which is why Farrow says Santa pays a little more than the going rate for a typical toy maker, $40,000 a year per elf. The rest of his budget breaks down into fairly typical categories: reindeer costs, $54,000 a year; health benefits, assuming that most elves would need a family plan, $770 million; power for his workshop in the North Pole, $98 million. Then there's the biggie: $39.5 billion to make presents for the world's children. That puts him on par with ESPN or Starbucks. Of course, his peers in industry are more like the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny.
We looked into that, yes. You know, the Easter Bunny, you know, if you look at the eggs, it's a pretty simple operation. Pretty much everybody gets a generic type of product.
Given all this, should Santa be a nonprofit, for-profit? I asked a lawyer.
And the real question is, where's his money going to come from? It's not just the financing. Santa doesn't charge for these toys. Where's his revenue coming from?
What if it's magic?
Well, if it's magic, then the donor probably doesn't need a tax deduction.
Alan Bromberger is a partner with New York law firm Perlman & Perlman. He specializes in clients who straddle the profit and nonprofit worlds. He says it probably makes more sense for Santa to become Santa Inc., but it seems unlikely that a for-profit Santa would fly with his target audience. So going nonprofit is Santa's best bet. There was only one problem. Bromberger says when you file as a nonprofit, you have to tell the IRS where your funding is going to come from.
The issue there is going to be that if you go tell the IRS that your money's coming from a magic place, I don't think you're going to get your application approved.
I called the IRS, but they had no comment. And Santa, he's pretty busy. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.